Well, hello again, and welcome back to the Mackay Motorsport podcast. Thanks again for listening and tuning in. And for those of you who have followed on Twitter, it's early days for our little podcast, but having a lot of fun producing it, and hopefully you're enjoying listening to it as well. If there's anything you would like us to cover or talk about, or any particular motorsport that you'd like to see on the podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So please get in touch with us through our Twitter page, or comment on Castbox or Podbean. We'd love to hear from you. Today we're going to cover WRC Corsica, an event I was so excited for. I could not wait for WRC Corsica to get going. And 3-4 days before the rally started, when the drivers and co-drivers would be going on their recce, there was Corsica on certain stages. It almost looked like Monte Carlo. There was bits of snow on the road and all sorts, and it was a possibility that we could have ended up with a very, very different rally in Corsica. But in the end, it dried up and we got some beautiful Corsican sunshine and some of the best roads you're ever likely to drive a rally car on. These new, we keep referring to them as the 2017 spec cars. These 2017 spec cars with the big wings, they look absolutely fantastic in tarmac spec, especially with big multi-spoke wheels. These are cars that, you know, you could only dream of, and I think for the manufacturers who are putting in such large sums of money into these projects, I think for their cars to be put up on that sort of pedestal and in those sorts of locations, I just think it's unbelievable. And the Corsica itself, there was a big change in the layout, a lot of new stages, so that was, and a lot of stages that the drivers hadn't been to before, and that was a big challenge. And co-drivers and pace notes is something that will be quite a running theme in this podcast, and talking about it. And it was actually quite a key to the event and the end result. And what an event it was, right down to the wire. Luckily, I managed to, over the last few days, managed to get to watch every stage on WRC All Live. Again, great job, guys. Bex and all the folks there, you do such a good job. And what you're doing for our sport, promoting it and giving access to people to really indulge their passion and keep connected with the sport and really see in detail what's happening and really get the feel for an event. It's just fantastic. So thank you guys. Great job. Corsica itself, the location, I mean, such a beautiful place to go rallying. I have to say, I'm going to be booking myself a holiday, hopefully to Tour de Corse next year, actually. But unfortunately, there appears to be doubts over the future of the event on Corsica, which would be a crying shame because, you know, it's been there for many, many years on the calendar, and, you know, it was there in the Group B days, and the stages, I think, are just too good to miss. But it was a great piece, if you can watch it, the Colin Clark's At the Kitchen Table. It was actually at David Evans from Autosport magazine kitchen table before they headed off to Corsica. I always enjoy Colin's kitchen table podcasts. They're really, really interesting and gives you a great insight from people who have got their finger on the pulse in the sport. And David and Colin were talking about how the rumours, and if it's rumours that they know about, there will be substance to them, that Corsica might be limited on the WRC calendar. And when I heard that, that was really, really sad to hear, and I really hope that doesn't happen. There's lots of new regions coming to the World Rally Championship, which is, of course, fantastic news. To go back to Africa to the Safari Rally is excellent news, fantastic news. You know, they have a little bit of representation in Latin America, but to go to Chile, that's really, really cool as well. And I think there's no doubt about it, especially with the investment that Toyota have put into the championship. I think a rally back in Japan would be a very, very good idea. And you never know, might entice some of the old warriors back into the sport. I'm talking to you, Mitsubishi and Subaru. We'd love to see them back in the sport, and maybe a Rally Japan might be the way to entice some of those manufacturers back into our brilliant sport. So let's see how that one folds out. But I would be so disappointed if Corsica would taken off the calendar, because it's just such a great rally to watch. But anyway, this year's Tour de Corse was won by Thierry Neuville at the dying moments of the power stage. A great win for Neuville. I mean, Neuville, he was absolutely fighting that car tooth and nail throughout the weekend. I mean, really, you could tell he was giving everything. And you know, Thierry Neuville, he's not really filtering out negative comments at stage in interviews. If he thinks the car is not performing, he will say so. And that, you know, he's making a point there. That's not just, you know, his frustration. He's making a very considered point to the management of Hyundai and to get them to get that car sorted out. But Neuville is such a talent that he appears to be able to drive around some of these issues, whether it be he seemed to be getting a lot of understeer. That seemed to be a complaint of all the Hyundai drivers. But then I've noticed it a couple of times in some of the stages watching them on WRC All Live, where he was getting a lot of real snappy oversteer as well. So very, very difficult to drive on the limit when the car is like that. But Neuville did that, and he kept in the fight all weekend. And as we saw, punctures and were the story of the weekend, I would say. I think that was what won and lost the rally for certain parties. Elvin Evans, oh, I could not believe it. Elvin Evans, what a heroic drive. Elvin Evans has come under a lot of criticism over the last couple of years. Had to be the understudy to Sebastian Ogier and did a very, very good job of that. And did a lot, you know, gave a lot of assistance to Ogier in winning the championship last year. But he's got to be his own man this year, and he's you know, driving for Malcolm Wilson at M Sport, has put an amazing amount of faith in him. And I wonder would M Sport be in the championship this year if it weren't for Malcolm Wilson's faith in Elvin Evans, particularly, possibly. This is the year where Evans has got to get results and quickly, and that is exactly what he's done straight out the gate. And he's actually right in touch in the championship. You've got the top three, the big three, Tanak, Neuville and Ogier, all very close to each other, but Evans is not far behind. And if he has performances like he did at Corsica, he might not be far away at the end of the year. He all weekend he went toe to toe with the man of the moment, Ott Tanak. He held him. It was like a heavyweight boxing match. Tanak fighting off Evans fighting off Tanak. It was incredible to watch. And Elvin, just when you thought Tanak had put in an absolute blockbuster time, Evans would just go quicker, and it was amazing to see. And I'm so pleased to see the M Sport team, that they're doing that job on a fraction of the budget that the other three big factory teams are doing. And just their intel, their experience, their attitude to rallying is just fantastic. And to see you know, British team, Cumbrian team, with their Welshman Elvin Evans fighting at the top level of the sport, it's just brilliant to see, and they all thoroughly deserve it. But what they didn't deserve, of course, poor Elvin, was that on the power stage. I mean, Evans, he had over, I think, about an 11 second lead going into the final stage, looking in control to drive to the end of the stage and pick up the win. And Neuville admitted that he knew that was too much time to take, so Neuville hadn't given it, you know, maximum attack to go for the win. So Evans could go at the pace he'd been comfortably doing all weekend, faster than anyone else, maybe with Tanak the only exception. And he unfortunately just clipped a pothole in the middle of the road. I'm not sure if it was there on the recce, I suppose it was, but just incredibly bad luck, really bad luck. Right in the pothole, right in the middle of the road, sometimes that happens, and that's rallying, but oh, rallying can be so cruel at times. And you know, for only the fourth rally that Scott Martin and Elvin Evans have done together, quite an incredible achievement for both of them. And even though they, you know, they lost the entirety of the tire ripped off the rim completely, they still got to the end of the stage. They lost a minute and a half, which is a little bit less than if they'd got out to change it and they just thought, we're just going to keep going. And Evans still, he kept on the podium by only 12 seconds. And that is the mark of his maturity and how good a performance. There was nothing he could have done really about that pothole, but he could have thrown it away and lost the podium altogether. But he stayed on the podium. He got that M Sport car, that Ford Fiesta, up on the podium, and well done him. He should be very proud of himself, and I'm sure the team are all very, very proud of him and Scott Martin. Elvin's teammate, Teemu Suninen, not normally known as an overall a tarmac specialist, but he had a solid run, really solid run, and he looked really upbeat and positive about it. So clearly that M Sport Ford Fiesta is really, it looked hooked up on tarmac. It looked like it was on rails, to be honest. And I think that I'm not taking anything away from both Teemu's performance or Elvin's performance, but clearly they have built a car that is an absolute rocket on tarmac. And is that a little bit of the Ogier legacy? Possibly. It could well be. I mean, he's a guy who always pushed and pushed and pushed for that car to be developed and improved, and he had the political weight to be able to make that happen while he was there. But that's definitely left a legacy behind, and I think it's given the M Sport guys even more hunger. They know they've got that taste of what it's like to have a driver's world champion in their stable, and they want that feeling back so desperately. Can they get that with Elvin Evans? Let's see. I won't write it off. It's one really good rally. He had a good rally in Mexico. Let's wait and see. Let's see how he gets on the other surfaces. But I think he will be very excited to get to Germany in a few months' time to tear up the tarmac there and really battle. So cannot wait to see that. Well done, the guys at M Sport, and a heroic effort. Speaking of heroic effort and not giving in, our pal Chris Meek. Well, Chris, as I said, has amazed me so much this year, how measured and mature and how he's just picked up points from, you know, he's had disasters out of his control all the way through the year already. And it appears to me that it seems to be a little bit of a running theme in Toyota where in tarmac spec, we saw it in Monte Carlo as well, in tarmac spec, there appears to be an issue when taking a cut on a tarmac stage and picking up punctures, seemingly a lot easier than some of the other cars taking to the stages. So I don't know if Toyota clearly have to look at that, because it cost Tanak a lot of rally wins last year. And it's cost, no doubt about it, it's cost Meek some rally wins this year too. But I think Meek was, if without those punctures on the early stage, early stages, I think he would have been right there in the fight with Evans and Tanak. There's no doubt in my mind. If you look at his stage times from the rest of the season, the rest of the rally in Corsica, he was right on the pace. I mean, in the power stage, 4.5 seconds up on anyone else. Now, the stage before, he drove through it at walking speed to preserve his tyres, but that is the new Chris Meek. That's the clever Chris Meek. These are the sort of things that Ogier would do. You know, he knew that he wasn't going to lose any position. He knew he had a big buffer. He couldn't catch the person in front of him. So why drive any faster? Keep those tyres in good condition and then just drop the hammer in the power stage and get 5 points, which will... If Chris Meek keeps up this power stage performance throughout the year, and we add up his points from the power stages, I think it will remain very, very significant. But the Toyota is clearly a very, very fast car. I think it's out of doubt that it is the fastest car in the WRC at the moment. But I think they need to get that issue sorted out. There appears to be a fragility with how they're with their wheels and getting cracked wheels and punctures and things like that. Punctures are inevitable in rallying, but I think that Toyotas seem to be a little bit more prone to it than others. And I think with their man Oit Tanak, who is in many people's book the favourite for the title, who would argue against that? I'd love to see someone try and argue against that. He cannot afford things like that to happen. Tanak was in the position to win the rally, battling with Evans. It could have gone either way, and he picked up a puncture as well on a cut. So one thing you can bet your bottom dollar on is that Tommi Mäkinen, being the competitor that he is, he will be right on top of that, and he will not want to see that kind of thing happening again. And I think come Germany, we will see a different approach to that aspect of the car and getting it ready for that rally. Oit Tanak again proving how much of a competitor he is, how difficult he's going to beat. Unfortunately, was kept back by a puncture, but really, you know, climbed back up the leaderboard, got himself back into position, scored good points, and he's right there in the fight. And one thing that he has got on his side, looking forward to Argentina, he's going to be third on the road for Argentina. So he's only a couple of points behind Ogier and Neuville, but crucially, he will have that third on the road position. And that is absolutely crucial, because you're going to have Thierry Neuville first on the road in Argentina. That is going to be really challenging from him in that, especially in the Hyundai, keeping that thing under control without the grip that the others will enjoy behind him. That is going to be a tough, tough rally for Thierry Neuville. There's no doubt about that. Even with Ogier in second, it appears that the Citroën C3 is getting a bit better on gravel, at least. And we'll talk about it on tarmac in a second. But Ogier will be second on the road. That's not ideal either. But the one thing about Ogier is that he knows how to manage that kind of situation. In fact, being second on the road is almost a bit of a treat to him compared to what he's been used to the last 5 or 6 years as well. But I think Tanak, third on the road in Argentina, that is going to be some battle. That is going to be some battle to beat Tanak in the Toyota, third on the road. I think the only person who might be able to stick with him would be Chris Meek in the Toyota, because he'll be running at fifth on the road, which is about perfect. So let's wait and see. Let's see what happens. Citroën, oh dear, it was not the rally that I think anybody expected for Citroën in Corsica. Linda Jackson, the CEO of Citroën, tweeted earlier in the week before Court Rally Corsica, wishing our boys, Esa-Pekka Lappi and Sébastien Ogier, the best of luck to win in a French car on French soil in Corsica. Getting that nudge from the very top, from the person signing off on every expense, and you know, they want results, and I've no doubt they will get them with the team that they've assembled, particularly with Sébastien Ogier at the wheel of their car. But I have not seen Ogier that struggling that much on an even playing field for quite some time. That car was clearly not doing what he needed it to do. And it's very, very strange, because everyone, all the best journalists, all the people that you would bet your mortgage on, knowing what to expect in a rally, would have said that the Citroën C3 was going to be rapid on tarmac, because that's exactly what it's been for most of its life cycle. The Citroën C3 WRC has been the car to have on tarmac. But it seemed but certainly not on gravel. That has seemed to have flipped on its head. It now seems to be quite handy on gravel, but on tarmac, the guys, so particularly Esa-Pekka Lappi, my goodness me, his stage end interviews are hard to watch at times. He's so despondent. He easily gets rattled and gets his head down, and whether it's an act at the end of the trade, at the end of the stage interviews, I don't know, but it seems like he is really, really at a loss to why he can't get the car to go quicker. And I can imagine he'll be quite a difficult guy to manage and to keep positive, and perhaps that might have been why he didn't get on with Tommi Mäkinen. reportedly. So let's see what Lappi can do going forward. But he's got the difficulty of having Sebastian Ogier on the other side of the service park, on the other side of the tent, and that's not going to really help your confidence very much. We saw it with Jari-Matti Latvala, where Ogier destroyed Jari-Matti Latvala mentally by just being so quick, nothing else, just being so, so quick. And because being so quick, you end up getting the favour of the team, and that's bound to be the case in Citroën. You know, Sebastian Ogier was brought into the sport by Citroën. They've paid a lot of money to bring him back, and no doubt he will get results for them, but that will not be easy for Etipekka Lappi. So let's see what happens when we go into some of the rallies that Etipekka is a bit more comfortable with. Finland, we've seen him win in Finland at his fourth or fifth WRC rally in a WRC car. So let's wait and see. But Ogier, he didn't look happy all weekend. He tried everything, but as Ogier does, even when he's having a bad weekend, he's never far off the pace. And that's, he managed to extract a result, get it on the podium, second place. Okay, inherited a place from Elvin Evans, but second place in a bad situation. If that's what you're competing against, that's tough. That's really tough for the other guys, and that's the mark of why he's a six-time world champion. So I think it's going to be fascinating to see in Argentina, how will he get on from second on the road? How will he do in that Citroën C3 on tarmac? But there's no on gravel. But let's wait and see what he comes up with in Germany. I think the Citroën, it used to be an absolute bullet on tarmac. It appears that has disappeared. Let's wait and see. Let's see where they go. They said in commentary at WRC All Live that they did on the test road that they'd went. They were there a test with the C3 on tarmac before Corsica. And they said that the test road was, you know, narrow, bumpy, and actually didn't replicate the conditions that they experienced in Corsica when they got there, and they went in the wrong direction with setup. And I think when you go in the wrong direction with setup, somebody like Ogier will be able to kind of get the best out of it and work towards an issue. But somebody like Lappi, his head can go down very quickly, and I think that's something that he's really going to have to work on, and Citroën are going to have to work on with him to get him pumped up again and get him, you know, to extract the best from the situation. So let's wait and see what happens there. Also, the Hyundai tarmac assault. Yeah, Thierry Neuville, Sebastian Loeb, Danny Sordo. How did they fare? Well, Loeb, we were kind of robbed of a Loeb charge. He had a problem on the first stage, puncture, damaged the suspension. He had to stop in between stage one and two and repair the suspension, and that put him out of contention straight away. So we didn't really see a Sebastian Loeb at 100%, but Sebastian Loeb at 95% was still, when you looked at the like for like times once he was back, once the car was fixed and once he was back running again, you could tell he was on a cruise. His body language, the way he talked at the end of the stage, he was not on maximum attack. There's no question about that in my mind. He knew the rally win was gone. He knew he just driving within his comfort zone. But his comfort zone is still one of the fastest guys in the world, especially on tarmac. So I think come Rally Germany, I presume they'll have Sebastian Loeb back in the car there, and I'm sure in Spain as well. Watch out for Sebastian Loeb, because he has a clean run. I think that he could be right there for the win and cause the full-time guys some real issues. I think the same would apply for Danny Sordo. Danny Sordo was right there, but he just tailed off towards the end of the event. But again, you can never ever write off Danny Sordo on tarmac. And actually, with the road position that he's going to have in some of the gravel rallies this year, we could see some fireworks from him as well. But where does that leave Andreas Mikkelsen? It's a long time, you know, when we get to Argentina, later in April, It'd been a long time since Mexico, in early March. You know, it's a long time to be out at the service park. It's a long time to not be on the TV, all these kinds of things. And Mikkelsen, he'll be coming into Argentina with a hell of a road position. He'll be right back in the order, so the road will be nice and cleaned up for him. So he could, you know, he's done this before. A lot of the time you'll see Mikkelsen leading after the first day with a great road position, and then it kind of can fall apart from there. But let's see. I'd really like to see Andreas Mikkelsen get a result. I think he deserves it. I think he's really struggled to gel with the Hyundai, the car. So let's see if he can put some performances together at least to keep him in the WRC in the long term, because I think he's definitely a driver of the caliber who should be in the WRC long term. But is his future at Hyundai? I think he might be better in other places. I would actually say, if the budget could be found, if the, collectively for him to go to M Sport, I think that would actually be a perfect situation for him. But that's my 2 cents worth. I hope you've enjoyed this little summary of WRC Corsica. It was a brilliant event once again, so exciting. We've got Argentina coming up in a few weeks. We'll review that as well, as always. Please don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Give us any feedback you like. We'd love to hear it. And follow us on Twitter. Subscribe to our channel on Podbean, on Castbox. We'd love that. We're having a lot of fun producing the podcast, and we'd love to hear from you. So thanks very much for listening, and we'll speak to you again soon.